Good morning. By God's help, we're going to share some thoughts on relationships. We surely need the blessings of the Lord. Would you join us as we ask for His help? Our Almighty God, thank you for every past blessing that you blessed us in the time of ministry. Now, Lord, here's another time we need you. We're asking for help from the Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would touch every life today and that this would be of an eternal value to each and every one. We acknowledge a need of you, and we ask, Lord, for your great blessings now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As a person lives life, they develop relationships. It is not uncommon for a young child to develop a strong relationship with their mother. I was here one Sunday morning when Brother Doug's granddaughter was here, Joseph's daughter, and it was time for the little girl to go to her Sunday school class. My cousin Vicky tried to get her to come, to go to the class. She didn't go, did she? Then Sister Maxine made a try, and that failed. But Sister Myra went over and said something to the mother, and after she talked with the mother, the mother went in, and the little girl went too. She didn't want to leave her mother's side to go in the Sunday school class. So perhaps her mother is the first face she sees in the morning through the day. Last one she sees at night. And that closeness has bonded her with her mother. A relationship of mother and daughter. We were here before Sunday school today. Brother Mike and his wife were here. They were close by each other. And I said, "Are you still in love? Was it positive?" I believe they are. So there are those kind of relationships. And then there is brother-sister relationship. Read a story about a couple and a brother and sister were in a vehicle traveling. And they were by a body of water. Some way, their vehicle went over into the water. The couple got out, and the brother. The sister didn't surface. The brother went down after his sister. Time went by, and he never surfaced. He gave his life in an effort to save his sister's life. Later it was found out that the sister didn't die from drowning, but from an injury. He didn't know that when he went to try to rescue her. So there are those types of bonds. relationship, brother and sister. And God wants brothers and sisters to love each other. In the gospel chariot, if the brother comes along, you don't roll over him like the devil. You stop and pick him up. The sister comes along. So it wasn't that way with Cain and Abel. The first child born, second child born, the first one was a murderer of his brother. Brutal, heartless murder. But God wants brothers and sisters to love each other and have a loving relationship. The most important relationship that you or I will ever have is with our Creator God. That is the very most important. We have accounts of those who had a closeness with God, and it's possible to have a personal, close relationship with God. I heard Brother Leslie Busby state from the pulpit that God was more real to him than his wife. Now that's a bold statement, but there was a closeness there between Brother Leslie and his Creator God. We have Abraham that was a friend of God's, and he had outstanding faith, and he was obedient. We have Daniel that was one of the most outstanding men in the Old Testament. He was able to have God interpret a dream that the person that dreamed it had forgotten it. Not only did he have the dream revealed to him, but the interpretation too. Daniel had a close relationship with God. He had a relationship with God in which he, in his busy agenda as a top official in the government, still his relationship with God was so important to him that three times a day he would take out from his busy agenda to speak to his God. Close he was, and God stood by him even at the threat of his life, putting in a den of lions. But this close relationship, God sent an angel ahead of him and closed the lion's mouth. Oh, there is others that had close. Elijah was close to God. He prayed, and God sent fire down from heaven. He prayed again, and God sent rain that hadn't rained a drop of water out of the heavens for 3.5 years. But through prayer, rain came in an abundance. God took him up without death, and he's up there in paradise today. We have Enoch. And it tells about Enoch in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And fifth verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I see this thing here. Am I supposed to? It's okay? It's coming through. I'm going to read this again. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, before you can have a closeness with a person, you have to know what pleases him. If you have a testimony, I please someone, you have to know what pleases them, don't you? If you invite me over for dinner, how many would know that I don't like Brussels sprouts? Is there anybody here that would know that? See, you don't know me that well. But Enoch knew God, what he liked, what he didn't like, and what pleased him. If you are close enough to an individual, Sister Julie, what does Brother Robert like to eat? Ice cream. Any particular flavor? Butter pecan ice cream. So when you buy food for him, you get him Brahms butter pecan. So see, by close association, you find out what a person likes and what they don't like. And Enoch made it his business to find out what God liked, and he pleased him in doing those things. So, they had such a relationship together that when it come time for Enoch to be no more, he was just caught up, gravity lost its hold on him, and he started rising up, and he went nonstop to paradise. So that relationship got him so close to God, he was able to not have to go through death, but he had a strong relationship with God. Well, the man that had one of the best close relationship with God is an Old Testament man, and you've heard of him many times. Does anyone know who I'm going to talk about? Job. A lot of people would have liked to have been in his sandals when he was wealthy, had a large family, had many assets, servants. Job was highly regarded. But you know, the old devil's out looking for people to make him trouble. He looks out for people every day. Peter said, he seeks whom he may devour. But God and old Satan had a conversation. And God was going to let Job have some real difficulties. And Satan predicted, he'll curse you. This man that has all these accumulations in the family and wife, he'll curse you. And God give him permission to test Job. An avalanche of trouble hit him. He was stripped of his assets. He had a lot of livestock, camels, cattle. he had prospered greatly. Perhaps the greatest test was, they didn't call it a tornado, but it must have been a tornado, where his children were assembled, and all 10 of them perished. That would have been heart-wrenching, wouldn't it? Probably just to know Brother Robert's son was in trouble was a difficult time. But to have 10 of your children taken out at once. It was in Alabama after they had a tornado at Tuscaloosa in a home of some people. And they stated about a woman had a daughter that the tornado took, and they never did recover her body. Don't know if they ever recovered Job's children's body. If they got all of them, there was 10 graves somewhere. Quite an ordeal to go through. But he didn't curse God. He blessed him. And it says in the 20th verse of the first chapter of Job, then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Don't you know he had to have something from God to be able to do that? And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, Job's troubles didn't end there. But instead of cursing God, he blessed him. That takes something. Going through all of those things and then blessing God. After this happened, there was another conversation. Again, the enemy said, he'll curse you. This time he was permitted to take it out on Job's body. He'd been in perhaps perfect health before all of these tragedies, and then to have the enemy put on him from the sole of his feet all the way to the top of his head boils. I don't know if anyone here's ever had boil, but it probably was a very uncomfortable walking on boils, sitting on boils, laying on boils. No way that you could get comfortable with all of these boils, and they probably had corruption in them, and they would ooze out the substance, and it probably had an odor. Not a good thing to happen, especially after you lost 10 children, your servants, your assets, and he lost the support of his wife. She turned against him. Instead of her saying, honey, I believe in you and I believe in your God, and there will be a time when this is ended. But instead of that, she suggested, like the enemy had predicted, that he'll curse you. Well, he didn't do it. His friends didn't understand him. He was in a situation. One time he felt like, I just really need to touch God. I need that. And he was feeling for him. He went forward and on each side and back, in no way he could feel the presence of God. But he had a personal relationship with God that he said, though he slay me, I will trust him. That is remarkable. My children taken from me. My assets taken from me. My health taken from me, and my wife turning against me, and my friends don't understand. But he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This is outstanding. Especially outstanding in the Old Testament for an individual to have such a hold and personal relationship with God after going through hard, hard places, still saying, if he slays me, I'm going to trust him anyway. And God honored Job's faith, and it had a happy ending. He was restored to health. He had 10 more children. Didn't speak of him having a different wife. Maybe she apologized and repented of how she turned against him. But at any rate, Job had a relationship with God that was outstanding. The most important thing in my life is my relationship with God. And there are things that can bring a person closer to God. One thing is a strong desire. A very strong desire to have a good relationship. For example, a young man sees a young lady that attracts him, is attracted to her, and he decides that she is the one that he would like to have for a lifetime's companion. That strong desire could motivate him to seek her affections. If he finds out she likes chocolates, he's willing to pay money for chocolates. If he finds out she likes roses, he's willing to pay money for roses. Is this true? If they live a distance between each other, he's willing to go to the gas pump and get gas to go visit her. There's a desire for a close relationship. And with God, he likes for people to desire a closeness with him. A strong desire. Quality time spent with a person develops a relationship. Maybe the young man finds out that she likes to go for walks in the park. They do that. And finding out what God likes and what pleases him. A strong desire for him and being open to God If you have an attitude trouble about a person, tell him about it. That can make a closeness. If you have trouble forgiving somebody, or bitterness gets to wanting to work in you, tell God about that. And tell him that you don't want to be like that. He's not like that, and he don't want you to be like that, and you don't want him. That helps to develop a relationship, to have an openness to tell God those things that annoy you, displease you. That can help your relationship to grow with God. And there's something about maintaining a relationship with God after you have one. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is Solomon. At one time, God favored him with wealth, honor, prestige. His fame went, his reputation went out, and the Queen of Sheba heard about him, wanted to come and eyewitness the greatness of Solomon. She come, I don't know what distance to see. And maybe he give her a personal tour of the palace and the things that God had blessed Solomon with. Wisdom. He judged the people. One time, they brought two women and one child. There was two children, and they were these women in bed, and one of the women laid over on her child and caused death. Well, she claimed the other child was hers. They come before Solomon. And Solomon was given the wisdom. He said, bring me a sword. We're going to cut this child in two. And you get half of it. And she gets half of it. Going to settle this. And the real mother wouldn't have it. Give her the child. She didn't want life to be taken from her child. Solomon was great and outstanding. He was the coordinator of the temple being built where the presence of God rested. A man favored highly of God. But he didn't keep that relationship. The last days of his life, he took on marrying strange women. Oh, that's so serious. May God bless young people to be careful who you marry. Let God pick your companion. He's so much wiser than human pickings. I know of a woman, a lady. She used the internet to pick somebody. She lived in California. He lived in Ohio. He'd come out there. They got married. She had a child. He's back in Ohio and she's in California. Don't pay to pick your companion over a computer. Anyway, Solomon, how can a man fall to such depth of disrespect for his Creator after he had been blessed so abundantly by him? He made a temple for the idol God, the idol wife. Not only did he make it, he bowed down before the idol. It pays to maintain our relationship with God, to not allow anything to come in between us and our Creator. And Solomon had an awful ending to his life. May God bless us today. In prayer meeting the other night, Brother Ed was telling about how he was a chaplain for hospice. As a chaplain for hospice, he got to visit with those who were near death. One man he described as being courteous, or however Brother Ed stated it. He had a serious affliction. He was on hospice. He must have known it was close to the end for him. And it was supposed to be very gruesome at the end. That man lived and died without accepting salvation. A woman that was one of the hospice people, she refused to allow Brother Ed even to come into her room. She went out into eternity without accepting God, having a relationship with God. It pays to have a relationship with God when you're young. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Develop that closeness. Brother Leslie, with that closeness of God being so real to him, didn't start in his old age. He was maybe in high school or shortly after, in high school probably, when he gave his heart to God. And that relationship developed over the years and years. And he stated God was more real to him than his wife. So may God bless today. I know of a woman right now. She'll be 79 in July. In the hospital yesterday, going to a rehab today, if the doctor permits it. She likes the song, "I Know This Earthly House Will Fall." But that woman is content in sin. And it's very, very possible she has some serious health issues. But she's gone out clinging to her sin, content in sin. You know those virgins that was sleeping were just as content to sleep without oil in their vessel as the ones who had oil in the vessel. They were content. They weren't trying to keep oil in their lamp. But when the midnight hour come and the bridegroom said, or cried, whoever it was cried, "Behold, the bridegroom come," how they woke up and their lamp light had gone out. Their oil was gone. They had money to buy. They had had time to buy. Jesus is delaying his coming. But one day, he's going to come. And above that, our summons is going to come one time too. We're going to have to go out of this world. And the thing that's going to be important at that time is, how has my relationship with God been? That's going to be what is important. When that heart starts beating for the very last time, the lungs stop giving the air, the breath. My relationship with God should be the most important thing today. For eternity is forever. And it's so senseless for people to live 70, 80, 90 years and enjoy and live to the flesh, but don't love their soul. That soul wants God. He wants God, but the flesh denies it. And to have that experience of living in sin and being contented in sin, 79 or 89 or 90 or whatever, and indulging and living for what the flesh likes, and then an eternity of torment. May God open the eyes of those who need a spiritual revelation of the seriousness of life, death, and the seriousness of having a personal relationship with God. May God bless these thoughts today.